No, it's not. And I'm not even sure if he feels that festive, considering what's happened to him in the last couple of days. And we know he's not big on movies, so I won't bother with that. But he's big on soccer. He's the captain of Melbourne City, and he wants to resume the A-League season. And he joins us on The Breakfast Club this morning. Good morning, Scotty.
Hello, gents. How are we?
Oh, you sound flat, Scotty. You sound flat.
I'm just trying to think of my best Tom Hanks movies, actually, and I thought with Footloose in it, but no, that wasn't me with an in Footloose, so we're all right.
No, he wasn't in Footloose, but it was a good try. It's a good try. Mate, how are you? Seriously, in the last couple of days have been a debacle. It's impossible to get past that. How are you feeling about all of this at the moment?
Yeah, look, boys, it's obviously been a pretty crazy an interesting few days for everyone involved in our three Victorian clubs, players, but staff also. It's just been a proper roller coaster. A lot of emotions, anger, frustration, humiliation is a big one. But I think the big one of all is obviously just worrying about the families that have been involved in the last few days. A lot of players have been telling their families they're leaving, whether they've got young families or, like myself, trying to start a family and, tell them we're leaving and then, we're returning and then leaving and then returning. So it's been disappointing, but in the contrary to that, we've just got to keep going. We've just got to try and do our best to try and finish the season and get across to Sydney at some point.
I must admit, that was the first thing I thought of when I've seen all this unfold the last couple of days. I thought, bloody hell, imagine the kids of the players who are leaving for an undisclosed period of time at the moment through this period to get the season finished. And all of a sudden they're back again, so they get their hopes up and they go again and they're back again. That'd be a nightmare for families.
Oh, it is. It is, mate. Like I said, we've got foreign players that have two young girls, and it's not just players. I mean, staff are also involved in this too. We've got six staff currently stuck in New South Wales, awaiting some news, and they're away from their families too. So, myself, obviously, my partner's 8 months pregnant. The conversation of me and her coming to an agreement of me leaving and then, returning and then leaving and then returning has been a roller coaster in itself. So, we'll get an answer over the next 24, 48 hours of where we're going, but also, it's got to be better planned, and I think the FFA are understanding of that. I fully understand that. This is a sporting game, but also there's a political side to this. The political side of this is quite crazy too. So it's taking it all in, but it's got to be a bit more time for players, and obviously if the right things have to be signed off that, if we do go, we're going.
So Scott, from your own personal situation, do you know what you're going to do? Because you're in this crazy situation, as you said, about how you're about to become a dad, but there's also some football to be played where you're the captain of that football club, and you've got a lot to play for. So what do you know what you're going to do, or does that change day by day depending on the circumstances?
Well, initially, prior to the two attempts we failed with, my plan was I'd be going with the team and playing, the two games, one on the 20th against Western United, and then on the 2nd of August against Sydney FC, and then returning to Melbourne on the 2nd of August. But now that's kind of thrown up in the air with games, probably being rescheduled. So it kind of means, if we have to quarantine for 14 days and I only play one game, I've got to speak to the club and try and sum up, is it worth, going over there? And I'd ideally like to, be at the birth of my son and then, a week or so spend here and then come back to Sydney. But is that feasible? Is that viable in regards to trying to get back to New South Wales? Will I have to quarantine for that? So there's so much in play here. But my plan was to obviously be with the team, for the next 2 or 3 weeks and then return for the birth of my son.
So how difficult has it been for you to train, and not just you personally, but for the team? I was driving past Gosh's paddock yesterday and seeing the Victory guys out there doing their thing. Is it hard to have an intensity, a purpose about training when you just don't know what's going to happen?
Well, we trained on the Monday, and then Tuesday we had it off, and then yesterday, like I said, we've got 6 or 7 staff currently in New South Wales with all the gear, you know, kit, balls, everything you could think of for a training session.
Right.
So we've had to think on our feet. So yesterday afternoon we came together and trained at the City Football Academy, but we used the academy balls, bibs and stuff, but with kit. If anyone had any old Melbourne City kit, they wore that, or you just wore what you needed to, and that was that was where it laid. We needed to train, but we had no kit, so no, it was enjoyable, the fact that we came together and just said, stuff it, let's just get on with it, and you looked like you were under 14s, select team trying out, because you had different players in different kit and stuff. So it was a laugh in that sense, but we've just got to try and think in our feet, boys. We do. We have to. As players and staff, we've done everything possible to try and get this season up and running. We've worked our asses off. Our club, the clubs have been good. We just need a bit of direction, and we just need a bit of help from the government and the FFA and the A-League to get it going.
You're on the PFA council, the Players Representative Council, are you not?
I am, yes.
There's been a bit of feedback from the PFA towards the FFA through all of this and the A-League through all this. How vocal have you been, and how strongly have you been involved in those conversations with headquarters?
Yeah, so, I had a conversation with Greg O'Rourke on, it would have been Tuesday night, and we had a good conversation. I was fully understanding, Greg was fully understanding of the emotions that was felt from all the players, and, Greg gave me a detailed account of how this had happened, and like I said, I truly understand how it's not just a sporting thing either. The politics of it all are quite intriguing. So we had a conversation and cleared the air, and it was good of Greg to call me. But in regards to the PFA, we spoke to the PFA yesterday, and there's some headlines out there that aren't true. The players are such. We still do have confidence in the people running the game, but. What is true is that we definitely do need, more guidelines. We need more time, and there's a certain set of rules that we need abided by. We can't just be leaving on 2 or 3 hours notice anymore for these family reasons, for these players leaving their families. So I think the kind of guidelines we need for us to get back there are pretty reasonable. And I'm sure, the A-League and Greg and his staff understand that, and he did the other night. So, I believe we're on a kind of same page now in regards to, for us to get back over the border. They know what's needed of them. And we understand that, we're just ready to play football, and hopefully, the New South Wales government, the health ministers and all of them can understand that we've done everything right, the protocols. I got kicked out of my house last Wednesday because it was a hot spot. And that was because we actually got told that if we were to leave the hotspot, we could fly to New South Wales. But on the Monday night, I get told I wasn't allowed to fly because I'd lived in a hotspot. So I've got AFL players that live in my area, and they got to fly, but I didn't. And 10 Western United players didn't. So there's so many cat and mouse games here that I don't understand. And that's why I understand it's a tough gig for Greg and his staff to try and get through with the government.
So did you move?
I did, yeah. No, I moved.
Where did you go?
To Doncaster. So I live out west in Askervale. And I know there's a few AFL boys, a few Carlton boys out there too. I moved out to Doncaster since now kind of thing, trying to do what's right by trying to get into New South Wales. But apparently it wasn't enough. So it's still interesting to know what's going on.
So wow. You've gone to Doncaster. What about your partner? Has she gone with you, or are you like...
No, so, yeah. No, she stayed in Askervale because she wasn't going to come to Sydney. So this is the I guess, the human element that people probably don't understand, boys, is that, it's a case of, we're doing what we can to try and get this season done, but, our families are definitely involved. And like I said, the Monday night I got told I couldn't fly. I had to wait for special exemption, but then I was fully aware of the AFL boys who were in those hotspots, flew out, when they needed to. So I definitely feel there's a bit of cat and mouse here with certain aspect of government, and it's just something that I'm seeing now rather than just hearing.
Yeah, well, it's unacceptable. It's what's happened the last couple of days. That's the short of it. And so hopefully sooner rather than later we can get it sorted out, mate. So you and your boys can go back out there and resume this season, this year-long season, it seems, for the A-League 2019-20 season. We wish you the best of luck, mate. I know it's frustrating for you. You can hear it in your voice, but you've got a lot of support out there from the RSN listeners who love your work every time you join us on the program. We hope it all goes well for you, for the family, and for the boys as well. Go get them.
Nah, much appreciated, boys. We'll be all right. We'll get on with it, and hopefully we'll get it finished, and then we can all get back to watching our favourite movies.